Well, my guest in the studio tonight began classical piano lessons when he was seven, but it was in his teens that his interest in jazz began, influenced by the recordings of Miles Davis and Weather Report and live performances by such Australian greats as Mike Nock, Bernie McGann and Paul Grabowski. He completed a BA from the University of Sydney in 1992 with an honours degree in English Literature. He later completed an Associate Diploma in Jazz Studies from the New South Wales Conservatorium of Music, where he studied with Mike Nock and Roger Frampton. He's also studied in New York. He's led his own groups, including his trio, and is involved in the collaborative group The Band of Five Names, featuring Phil Slater and Simon Barker, with whom he's recorded two albums. He won the National Jazz Award in 1999 and the Friedman Fellowship in 2005, and he's performed with many of Australia's jazz icons, people like Vince Jones, James Morrison and Don Burrows. He currently teaches at the New South Wales Conservatorium of Music and tours both nationally and internationally. Matt McMahon, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
You were selected by John Shand, featured quite heavily in his book, The Australian Accent. Such an honour to have such a significant contribution to Australian jazz recognised in that way. I think there was only about 19 artists across Australia. And considering all the many great pianists that we have in Australia, how important was that recognition to you?
Oh, look, any time anyone sort of likes what you do or thinks it's significant, of course, that's important. And if the person happens to be someone who's sort of a critic like John and writing books, of course, it does count, and it is a significant, you know, it did feel significant. Of course, inevitably, that list, and I think John made really strong case in his book that this was by no means a representative, you know, go at Australian jazz, but more picking a selection of people who, from different places in Australia, and, you know, if you look at the omissions in that book, for instance, someone like Paul Grabowski doesn't have a chapter on him. He's a colossal figure, so... Having said that, it's great. It is a great honour, and I guess in some ways John really focused on people that he felt were not content to simply replicate sort of what had been done elsewhere, but really tried to engage with Australia in some way. You know,
He certainly did, and of course also the Friedman Fellowship in 2005. These sort of, I guess, milestones must be very special.
Yeah, they are. They're it's always great to be, as I said, whenever anyone likes what you do, you know, it's especially significant. And when it's people who are sort of dishing out prizes or writing things, and then obviously that means something, you know, it means something for your career. But, you know, I really think in the end, like, I really think all people that listen to music are sort of equal, you know. Some people like it and some people don't. And if you're lucky, a few people who are influential might like it, but, you know, it's also important to keep that in perspective, you know, that a particular moment in history, a particular set of judges made a choice and could have well gone another way, another time, you know.
Well, it sounds like you've certainly kept a level head over all this, and that's great to hear. You released the album 2 at 1 on Birdland Records last year with the guitarist Guy Strozzulo, nominated for the Best Jazz Album on the AIR Awards. Your association goes back some way with Guy. How did it all start?
It all actually kind of all began with the singer Robin Dunn, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter in the sort of, I guess, folky pop area. The band that actually Steve Hunter and Guy suggested myself for that band, Andrew Gander being the other member. And then that band eventually became Guy Straz's band, Blue Phoenix, the Blue Phoenix band. So it was one of those organic things that came about from ending up in a particular situation and then it growing. It actually brings to mind, that's a very similar story to the next, even though those guys knew each other. The first time they played as a trio like that, I think, was behind the singer Jeannie Lewis. They went on a tour with her, you know. So I think sometimes those kinds of chance situations are the origins of these things. And then I guess it's like all friendships, you sort of, it felt good, so you keep doing it, and then it still feels good, so you still keep doing it, you know.
Did you grow up in Sydney?
I grew up in Sydney, yeah. Yeah, I grew up in the Sutherland Shire in Oyster Bay. It's my home.
Your family background, how did the music start for you?
I'm the youngest of five kids, and the others are all quite a lot older than me. So they all were really into music. My mum was really into music. My mother and father didn't play, but music was something important, especially to my mum. My two brothers played in the school brass band, as I was to do later, and then my sister learnt the piano. And so there was music around, and it was a very, people felt strongly about music. My mum loved Wagner and Beethoven, and she also loved Frank Sinatra and Benny Goodman Trio. And my brother was into Keith Jarrett and Weather Report. You know, another brother was into Joni Mitchell and Woody Herman. You know, just there was all kinds of genres and things. And it was only much later that I realised it was kind of an unusual amount of music to have in the one house, you know. And I really got exposed to a lot of different stuff. So it was kind of, when I look back, a very lucky household, you know.
When did you get together with Guy and decide to cut this album, and how did it all come about?
Well, we did one performance on one of Guy's albums as a duet. It must be 10 years ago now. And we really enjoyed that, and I know actually Steve Hunter was the bassist, and he was sitting in the control room for that track, and he loved it. He was very encouraging, actually, saying that was great, you know, and it really affected him. And I guess Guy and I have been talking about doing it ever since then, and like a lot of these things, you know, you often have these discussions which don't go anywhere. This one we finally did get around to doing. It's just something, once again, that naturally we thought this was a great way to play together and very enjoyable thing to do.
There aren't too many guitar piano precedents, I guess, in jazz duos. Bill Evans and Jim Hall comes to mind.
Yeah.
You'd probably know a few more than me.
There's quite a recent one with Pat Metheny and Brad Meldow too. They've done one. So that was kind of a coincidence, I guess, around, we weren't aware of that when we were starting to put this together. But I know Chick Corea and John McLaughlin have played some. And of course there's a long tradition of kind of guitar, piano, bass from Nat King Cole on that format. Armor Jamal and Oscar Peterson, everyone playing in that way. But
you're going for a bit of a different sound here too, some regional music influences filtering through their South American influences, I can hear. And
yeah.
What are some of the others?
Well, Guy's very interested in Indian music. He's done a lot of research into that and studied in India. So there's a little bit of that. In fact, he knows a saxophone player who plays in quite a few Indian bands in the States. And we play a piece by this guy, George Brooks, on the album. He plays in Zakir Hussain's band, for instance. But Guy's also been very interested in, you know, bossa nova and Brazilian music. And I've always loved that music too. In fact, one of the pieces is also a Milton Nascimento piece on the album. So I guess rather than sort of setting out to do that, I guess it just sort of evolved naturally from our interests, you know. And I guess the kind of things that we thought worked well as a acoustic guitar and piano sort of situation.
You've worked and you continue to work with a number of singers, people like Vince Jones, Vienna Sanzone, Tina Harrod. The list probably goes on. There's a special art to accompaniment. Is the level of fulfillment as great for you when accompanying a singer, or
I really compared love it. Yeah, I really love it. And I think, I mean, like any musical situation, it's sort of, it doesn't really matter what the instruments are. It's the connection that you have with the people you're playing with. So in all those situations that you've talked about, I was playing with Tina on the weekend, for instance, with Jonathan Schwartz and Hamish Stewart, and it's a family thing, you know, the playing with those guys. They have such a rapport together, let alone coming in there. So to me, whether it's a singer or if it's a great instrumentalist or whatever, it's more about that person and you connecting and trying to support what they do, and then they try and support what you do. So, but yeah, I've always loved singers.
Is it about rounding out your craft too, as far as being a great soloist in your trio situation, but also the demand for you is to make that singer sound even better?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, that's how I approach everything, whether it's my own gig or anything, just try and, you know, figure if the other guys are sort of comfortable and relaxed, then I'll usually feel better, you know. So whether it's a singer or even in my own band, I mean, I'm thinking a lot about Jono Brown and Simon Barker and the kind of things they like playing, and just trying to, you know, obviously things I like as well. But it's all kind of the same to me. I mean, playing with singers has different special demands because it's a very fragile thing for someone to sing, both in terms of often pitching notes and also, you know, it's one thing if you're struggling to be heard playing the piano, but you're sort of damaging a person who's trying to sing and they can't be heard, you know.
Yes.
They're really struggling. So, you know, having that awareness of the special cases for singers. But, of course, you get all this extra level of lyrics and phrasing. And I mean, I've never been a singer. I mean, there's plenty of great singers around, but in the car recently I've just been singing for my own pleasure. It's such a natural thing to do, you know, just singing along with stuff, and it's such a special activity. I love hearing people that can do it well.
But of course you've also gone that step further with Vince Jones, for example. Were you his musical director?
Yeah, I've sort of fell into that role over the last, well, it's nearly 10 years since I've been playing. I think about 8 years. So yeah, I do that. We've sort of co-written an album and, you know, I did arrangements and things for that. So, yeah, that's a really enjoyable thing. But all of these things that we've talked about have all just organically happened for me. You know, you end up doing something and then someone says, can you write a chart? And then things step by step take you in directions, you know. So that's how all these things have happened. It's not something that I ever envisaged, you know, doing. In fact, in a place like Australia, I mean, in terms of jazz, there's not many situations where the term musical director and jazz meet. I mean, it's a pretty small world. So it's not like I'd been in plenty of situations and knew what a musical director was, you know,
yes,
compared to being in a theatre world or something, you know. So there's not too many jazz gigs where you'd say, you know, someone's the musical director, and I just sort of, you know, invented that role in Vince's band in that sense of what he required or what we could do together to work together, you know.
Well, what's on the horizon with you and Guy as far as this performance is concerned? Are you looking ahead in developing this idea of the duo going forward?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've my playing with Guy's taken a lot of forms. We just played on the weekend, actually, up on the Central Coast with the two of us, and also Hugh Fraser was playing, great bassist. So I guess it's fun to play in these smaller combinations, whatever the exact lineup might be on a particular time is kind of to be determined, I guess, but we always enjoy playing duo, and we'll definitely be doing some more playing in this way, and as once again talk of more recording, and we'll see if we can get there with that too.